Welcome to a new episode of Moving Picture Madness. I am your host, Count.
Now, it's Ant, and Matt's here too, and I don't know what we're talking about this week, and I don't know what episode number it is, because this show is off the rails.
You son of a bitch.
Where's this got? Is this a new soundboard we've got?
No,
have we upgraded? Is it that Kofi money?
I'm actually wearing a gold blazer at the minute as well.
Oh, nice, shit. Nice. Oh, same. Oh, mine's in the wash.
Fire. Sorry, but my phone just gone mad and started playing the other 130 greatest Arnie quotes.
Is Schwarzenegger in your house, mate?
Yeah, he's in my bed. That's nice. What I bought with my Ko-fi money, a night with Arnie.
Bring me the maid.
Bring me the maid. Oh, shit, not again. Stop. Welcome to Moving Picture Madness.
Yeah, let's start again. Welcome to episode, I can't remember what number it was, 40-something of Moving Picture Madness. My name is Ant and I'm George. What are we talking about this week, mate?
Anything we really want, mate. It's just whatever we fancy. What I did see just before coming on air was the, I don't know if you've seen it, mate, but the Eternals trailer. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I did not.
I literally watched it before I came on air. I said,
talk me through it.
Well, I said I'd watch it on my lunch break. I did not. So I quickly came home and I was like, oh, I better watch that. But I thought it was all right, actually. However, I don't know if I thought it was good because the music was so fucking epic. Like, the music is like proper kind of awe-inspiring, whereas thinking about it, what was happening on screen wasn't. looked proper Chloe Zhao, Academy Award winning Chloe Zhao. It looked really nice, like everyone's saying, but I don't know if it feels epic just simply because of the music, because what I saw looked good. I don't know if Chloe Zhao, Academy Award winner, can get a performance out of Kit Harington, she should get another Academy Award, because
mate,
he's in it.
Just regardless of the trailer or anything, do you give a shit about this film?
It's same as any Marvel film that comes out. In short, no, but I'll go and watch it and enjoy it, if that makes sense. I don't get hyped for them, apart from Infinity War and Endgame, because I'm basic. I was pretty hyped for those, but not really. I mean, the trailers made me intrigued.
I think you need to go get like something checked if you weren't excited for that. I think everyone was excited for those two, but I'm just like thinking, because I'm like, Venom's coming out soon. I haven't even seen the first one. Shang-Chi,
That's getting good. That's getting some good buzz, but all Marvel films do when they come out.
Exactly, that's what I mean. And again, when was the last time one came out without buzz?
I don't know.
It was like forgettable as shit, so, and that got buzz.
And that
so
got
like,
a buzz. The Ant-Man films did. They're decent films, actually. They're all right.
I think there'd be more buzz if one was shit at this point.
To be honest, you're right.
They're all good, aren't they? Like,
that's it. They're all perfectly fine. It's like a frozen cheesecake. You know what I mean? It's nice, but you don't remember it as much as you would if you go to like the Cheesecake Factory and get a proper one.
I'm with you, mate. This analogy is good. I'm with you.
Yeah, I kind of had to struggle along with that one, but I'm trying to think. I reckon that the last one was probably the kind of first batch. Iron Man 2, the Thor films, and then we've just gone through a phase where everything is great. I think you're right though, mate. If the next Marvel film comes out that isn't Eternals, and everyone says, this is a bit crap, this is a bit waff.
That'd get people talking.
That would do, because it'd probably get a better box office as well, a higher box office, people just going to check it out. But I watched it, I thought it was pretty good. I like seeing Richard Madden, the King of the North, in there. It's got a good cast. I'm trying to think of other things to say. It looked marvelly, but just with a Chloe Zhao filter. By that, I mean it looked more grounded. It looked more organic. It wasn't. It didn't look quite as colourful and bombastic as the other films. But it is going to end up being a big CGI fest at the end. So we know that.
100% sure. Yeah.
So okay then. Before then, kicking off the show then, Eternals. Out of 10, what's your hype? I know you don't do out of 10, but I'm going to make you hype levels for that. Pre-trailer.
Zero.
Right, there we go.
Like,
so
I
can
have
only
genuinely
go up.
No expectations for that film. It doesn't mean I'm not going to like it.
No, of course.
I know nothing about those characters.
Same.
I don't care, but I will watch it for sure. Week it comes out, probably before it comes out, and
hopefully
I'll still
get a screening.
Yeah. We definitely will. We'll get it, but it's like, I don't know, man. Just not that excited for
just
it.
Just not asked, but no, I wasn't before seeing the trailer.
I'm excited for like No Way Home, but I'm more excited for the stuff in that's like from the Raimi trilogy.
This is what I was going to say. I'm sitting there going, yeah, but I've said this so many times. I'm looking forward to that, but I'm looking forward to the potential. If I watch it and Maguire's not in it, whatever that other guy is, Garfield's not in it, then I'm really disappointed. But you get William Dafoe, Alfred Molina, Jamie Foxx, and that. What, you don't get the villains of the piece in without getting the hero, surely.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm excited for the possibility of what that film could be.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think I don't know any other comic book films coming out. Look, Venom, Shang-Chi,
No Way Home, Eternals. DC got anything else? I think their next thing might be Flashpoint, and that's not
next year.
Batman as well. See, I'm way more excited for Flashpoint and the Batman. I don't know about you.
You're a DC man, aren't you, though, in terms of films?
Yeah, but like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Not really.
Flashpoint, possibly.
They just excite me more. The idea of Flashpoint and like having Michael Keaton's Batman back.
No, that's cool. But then that's like Not a Way Home, isn't it?
Yeah.
Having the old actors coming back. So yeah, the Batman, though. That I don't know any comic book fan or just pop culture fan who isn't buzzing for the Batman after that fucking trailer, man. That
trailer was unreal.
Yeah.
Again, that trailer looks like that got me more excited than anything that we've got coming up this year for Marvel. But there has been Marvel stuff that I've liked a lot, like in the last few years, though. But Thor Ragnarok looked cool from the trailer, but then it blew my mind how good that was.
So yeah, I like that.
Hopefully, we get a couple of those.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are saying, well, the Batman needs to be R-rated for it to be really good. What do you reckon, mate?
No.
No.
The Dark Knight is a 12.
Yes, I'm looking at it over on my Blu-ray. Yes, it is a 12, mate, you're right, and that's bloody...
Is it a 12 or 12A? It's always,
12A.
And that's, like, brutal. And it's, like you said, it's a 12, so, yeah, you don't need that. You don't need an R-rating.
It's just the... It's the people with graphic novel avatars who need it to be R-rated. What do they want? Batman, we know now that Batman doesn't fuck. He certainly doesn't. Him and Catwoman don't do it dirty. We know that now.
Don't you think it makes me cringe when, like, they go big, like, R-rated in comic book stuff for some reason?
I mean, Deadpool...
You know when, like, they start swearing and... Oh, yeah, not, like, in a comedic way.
Because that's his character, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's, like, funny. I mean, like, when they're all serious and, like...
Oh, well, like, the Titans, whatever it's called, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, my God, fuck Batman.
You, Batman. That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's try-hard, isn't it? It is, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's proper try-hard.
Even more so when, like, Marvel do it. Like, if it's Daredevil, then, yeah, that's fair enough. If it's Punisher, absolutely. But when they start making, like, Spider-Man, like, shit, where it's, like, really grim, I'm like... Yeah, it's not good.
No, it wouldn't have. No, I'm trying to think who's the best Marvel character, most likely Marvel character still alive to be a right swear bot. Tessa Thompson's cat, Valkyrie. Well, maybe that's just because Tessa Thompson.
Oh, you mean like MCU one?
Yeah, because the ones that are still alive.
yeah,
I don't know any actually. Maybe what's his name? Michael Peña's character in Ant Man. Him.
Possibly
just because he's funny.
God knows.
Let us know who the most foul-mouthed MCU characters. But I don't think it needs to be R-rated to Batman. It just needs to be good. Do you know what I mean? R-rated is for violence, sex, and language, usually, or drug use.
Yeah.
We ain't going to see any drug use. We're not going to see any sex.
We've already seen Batman's penis in that comic last
year. We've seen his willy flopping about, and he's hung as well. So we know that he's packing heat down there. So it just means swearing, and, you know... They can have swearing in there, but does it
if
need to be?
If you want this R-rated Batman cut, just edit the scenes from the lighthouse into the Batman where he's wanking off in that windowsill.
Yeah. That's it, and have like Catwoman in front of him, and then everyone can get their dream they wanted at the beginning of the year. So
that's what I tell everybody. You know when people tell me and they're like, "Oh, I'm so excited for the Batman. I love Rob Pattinson." I'm like, "Have you seen the lighthouse?" I'm like, "No," and I'm like, "There's a scene where he's wanking off in that, so you probably watch that."
Have you seen many of his films? No. Yeah. It's me sounding like an elitist there, but many people don't see... Lots of people have seen his films now in the last year or two, but prior to that, he was always just, sorry, Horn, the Twilight guy. Whereas he's been in stuff ever since
then. Is Horn a big Twilight fan?
I think he likes the Twilight films. I wouldn't say that... I can't speak for him, but I think he likes them. But Horn is much more open-minded.
We're going to have to get the Horn on this show one day, because he's like a mythical creature we speak about now and again, and we need to just get his voice on here.
Yeah, well, again, once I lock up your daughters, the Horn is coming. Yeah, no, yeah, I think you know he likes the films. I don't think he's going to say this is the best franchise ever, but he likes them.
Yeah. I can't remember. I was watching somebody a bit back. It might have been Commode, and he was like, I think he was saying that he doesn't mind them. I was like, wow, did not see that.
I think they're not the worst films ever. They're just some of the worst written films ever. Like, you know what I mean? They're not a good film, and I don't always have a good time with them. It's mainly the dialogue, and I know I crack on about that a lot, but these films aren't meant to be Shakespeare, but some of the writing is so bad, it genuinely puts you off.
There's a lot of those like awkward, like long stares at each other as well. And long those stares. Scenes, yeah, and they don't really go
Christian
well,
Stewart, you know, just basically trying to fuck a big dog or whatever Taylor Lautner's character is, so it's really weird. It's just weird. It's just bad. It's, you know, there's the
CGI premise babies.
Of good story there, but it's not. I don't mind. I think the last ones aren't as bad. They're fine. But
do you know what they do have dips. Though? And I will. I don't care if this annoys anyone.
Soundtrack.
They have fucking banging soundtracks. Yes. Yeah. Like maybe not now. I don't think I'd listen to them now. But there's a lot of songs that are on that soundtrack that I used to listen to a lot. We all had that phase.
And some of the score is actually quite good as well.
Yeah. Well, definitely.
So the music's fine. It just looks really washed out, and R-Patz looks like he's got some kind of...
Do you know what else? I'll give him a compliment for you. I kind of like the setting.
What, Forks? Is it called Forks? It is Forks.
Yeah, Forks. It's like a Twin Peaks-looking kind of place, and I quite like it.
You'll be next thing, you'll be watching it, and you'll be reviewing it on the show.
No. Sorry, Norm. No.
Howdy.
Not for any money.
No. It also made me laugh at work earlier on. I just randomly thought of that time when Idris Elba in the Suicide Squad, just keep that fucking rat away from me. And it just, no reason, just made me laugh. So I did like the Suicide Squad. But, what have you been doing this week? Because you're always a busy boy of work, but you've always got time to do some cool shit.
Been playing some Final Fantasy VII. Been watching some old Godzilla movies.
Yes.
What else have I been doing? Watched a couple more episodes of Demon Slayer. I think I've got like 2 episodes of that left. Yep. And I'm just going on my social media now because I usually bore everyone with what I've been doing. So I'm just going to have a quick look. I can't remember what else.
He doesn't bore us, does he, everyone? No, he doesn't. Exactly.
I played through Mario 64.
Yes.
All the way through. That's about it.
I didn't see that on the socials pop up.
Yeah, I just did a little post. I was playing it. I was playing it in Costa.
Nice.
But yeah. Mario 64, still great game. I went to play Sunshine straight after because it's in like a collection. And I'm sort of playing Final Fantasy VII, and then I'll maybe jump between that and Sunshine because Final Fantasy VII is like 40, 50 hours long.
Is this the remake of it?
No, the OG. And then I'll play the remake at some point. But the OG is on Switch, and that's sort of literally all I've found time to play on lately. It's like just I've got the Switch in my bedside cabinet, and it's like... If I didn't have that there, I literally wouldn't be playing games at the minute because I just get in bed and I'm fucking knackered and I just play that and then, yeah.
I love the idea that you've got a console in every room of the house. So, bedroom, front room.
In this room I'm sat in now, I've got a PS5, a PS3, a PC, and then in the bedroom, no word of a lie, these aren't plugged in, but in the bedroom, there's a GameCube, a Genesis, N64... Every handheld ever made, a Super Nintendo, an Xbox, a Switch. The Xbox is plugged into the TV, obviously. In the front room, there's a PS2, a PS4, and another Switch in there. So, yeah, there is consoles in every room. It's just I don't have time to play them all, so it's a bit pointless.
Stick the Game Boy in the bog, and then you're fine. But fuck, I've never played Final Fantasy VII. I know, shoot me down, but I know... how fucking popular it is
is that I've never played a Final Fantasy game in general. I've just never got into them, and like that's a massive like gap in sort of my gaming history.
Oh good, it's not just me then.
yeah but like Final Fantasy VII is not the best regarded of the bunch. It's just the most popular. It's easily the most iconic. Like everybody thinks of like Cloud and like Tifa and all these characters, like they're so memorable. But like again, I haven't like played through it, and I wanted to play the remake because the trailers for the remake looked incredible. But a lot of people said with the remake, it's kind of like there's a lot of things they do different in the remake, and not usually when you hear that, you think that people are going to go insane, but apparently it's good. But it only really works if you've got the context of the original in mind. So I think there must be some, like, just subversions in there. You must, like, get to a thing, you're like, oh, I remember this. Oh, shit, this is different. Like,
what do you think about that, then? If it's a beloved game that they remake it and then change it. Yeah?
It's like RE2 Remake. I think that sort of... as RE2 Remake is a good example because it's the same bones of the game, but there are different parts in it, and again, it justifies its existence as a reimagining. Like, I love the idea that they're reimaginings as opposed to just re... and I know it is called Resident Evil 2 Remake, but it is a reimagining. Like, so is RE3 Remake. That is a totally different ending, like, to that game. And I love that. It's like when people talk about comic book adaptations. Why would you want to see the thing that you already know? Like, exactly. Why not have the thing that you already know, but then have another version of it? And, like, this is a big thing that happens. We're talking about anime recently, like, with Berserk and stuff. Whoop. And even Evangelion's just ended. So I need to watch that. Like, 2 or 3 days ago, it's had its final movie in the new movie versions that are retelling the story of the show.
Right.
But they're different. They have different things in them. And I like that. That's fine. Because now I've got the show, which is the show, and it, in all its iconic glory and all this stuff, and it's legendary and blah, blah, blah. But now you've got a brand new set of brand new animation for these new movies that have got new moments in. That's great. That's just more stuff for me to like. Like, as long as they're not completely shitting on the legacy and making it something completely different, then that's fine. Like, it's cool to have, like... it's cool to have, oh, is this Spider-Man comic a real, like, oh, there's a movie coming out of the same name, but it's a bit different. That's cool.
Yeah, I like that. That grinds my goat about most things. And I'll use comic book movies. This isn't a comic book bashing session, but as a example, because I always hear, that character doesn't do that in the comics, or this doesn't happen in the comics, so therefore the film is inaccurate. No! I mean, I don't want to see... a straight up adaptation. I like a lot of. I've got all these Star Wars books.
It's like people getting pissed off that, like, they change, like you said, like a character from a comic thing. Like, who cares?
The MCU isn't the comics. The comics aren't the MCU. I've got Lost Stars over there. All the Star Wars books. Lords of the Sith. I'd love to see something like that as a movie. But at the same time, I've read the book, so I don't just want to go.
The awkward one with
Star
Wars is you don't really get new adaptations of stories already. Oh my god. Speaking of Star Wars, that Vision trailer was pretty good, wasn't it?
Mate, on this...
Speaking of anime, this is like complete segue gold.
That was. I've got that written down as well, the Vision trailer. I watched that on the crapper at work, and good God, I almost,
where you do
almost
most
spilled
things.
My guts. I spend a lot of time
in
there.
It looks incredible, doesn't it, that trailer? Like
The music... Because it's what,
the
seven different studios.
The black and white one especially, I can't remember what the name of it is. It's called The Duel or something like that.
The Duel, that's like the lead off, that's the main one that is.
Yeah,
the
looks
book
amazing.
That comes out in a couple of months' time, that's based on that particular story.
They should release it as manga, that would be great.
No, I don't doubt that they will do, mate. I think they will, because I think
There is Star Wars manga, there's a Luke Skywalker manga, I saw it the other day.
Lost Stars manga as well, the book's been made into a manga, which is where a lot of the characters have been realised in that, which is cool, and I think, I don't know if it's changed it at all, but mate, that trailer, I think there's seven studios behind it. I think it's been established now that it ain't canon, which is fine, but honestly, it was just like lightsabers here.
I'd rather it wasn't canon, to be honest, and then you can just do anything.
I'm
not behind the idea of like having no canon like some people are, but I think for certain projects, just do this isn't canon. It's just like, you know what we said about like skirting around the RPG problem? Just make an RPG and make it not canon.
Yeah,
or make it set on a planet where they're never going to touch canon.
Yeah, as long as they make it clear, and that sounds proper, ooh, as long as they give us what we want. As long as they say, yeah, Visions, these stories aren't canon. However, if we ever want to pick some of the characters or stories, they do with Legends, then they will do. Who's to say that one of these Visions episodes might be so popular in a 2 years' time, you might see one of the characters kind of taken from it and put in a book or a comic or something.
Oh, yeah, definitely,
It's more idea. I'm so excited. Honestly, mate, I've got the images up in the background. I am so excited. I'm making my way through Ghibli. I've been listening to the Joe Hisashi music all week. I haven't even seen half the films, but the music is just the tits, honestly.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man.
And also, I'm in a right... it's right at the start of the anime journey, but I'm in an anime mood.
And it's just like just as the timing as well, obviously, with you being a big Star Wars guy, like this trailer comes out.
Honestly, I'm looking at the pictures now. It just looks unreal. I've seen a lot of people. The what made me laugh was a lot of people commented on the Star Wars post saying, "This doesn't feel like Star Wars."
Mm.
This is the whole point. It's they're having a different take on Star Wars.
Yeah.
Why? Then, and I imagine these are the same onion groins who don't want. I want something different. And then when you get something different, well, this doesn't feel the same. I want something to be different, but not like that.
These Star Wars peeps, they can't be pleased.
No, that's it. Star Wars fans will always be the same.
Like a step back from it all. And like, again, I always feel like with Star Wars, like the more sort of I stay close to it, it's like literally the sun. Like it's a fucking great thing. And I love it to bits. And it's got to be there. But the fucking closer I get to it, the more I get burnt by it. Like I just stay away and I keep out of all the bullshit online and stuff. And it's just this golden thing that I just will always love. But again, I just stay away from the bullshit these days.
I think you need to, mate, because once you start, because when Visions comes out and undeniably people will say, this is the worst thing Star Wars has ever done, blah, blah. It's easy for people to look at that criticism like people did with the prequels, me included partly, and start to kind of convince themselves, actually, yeah, this is bad because people are saying it's bad, therefore I think it's bad. People jump on the wagon, and then with the prequels, people come around to them. Nobody's ever going to say they're perfect, but I fucking love the prequels now, man. But I went through a phase of thinking, well, they are a bit shit, aren't they? They are, but I fucking love them now.
But I think those things, I know what you mean, but I think I always treat that as a mutually exclusive thing, is where they are shit, but I do love them.
Yeah, I just couldn't
at the same time.
About 10 years ago, mate, probably was actually about 10 years ago, I was just in a bit, it's like five, six, after Revenge of the Sith,
Do you know what I think made the prequels easier to forgive and love is that we then got more.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah, because they weren't...
Before we knew we were getting more and that was it, that was the end, I was like, everybody was kind of a bit like, shit, well, if that's it, then that's not very good, is it?
Here's three new films to unite the fan base. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that didn't quite work.
Jesus.
Honestly, mate, yeah. I can't wait. And there's 9 episodes of these Visions. I don't know how long they are. I'm guessing they can't be that long.
But
what studios? We've got Kamikaze, Gino, Studio Colorado, Rido, Trigger, Kinema Citrus, Science Sarah, and Production IG.
Some of the biggest anime studios in Japan. Yeah.
I've done my research and I know, and I've found out how big these are. It starts in a month, basically, pretty much a month from when you're listening to this. September the 22nd, it comes out. I think they're all dropping in one go by the looks of it, though.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, I just want to sit and binge through them.
Yeah, I think so. The Duel is a short film. Again, it doesn't say how long, but. Mike, I
would
can't
guess
wait.
For that, maybe short,
20 minutes.
Maybe, yeah, I was going to say 25, 30 minutes. Yeah. Yeah,
but everything seems to be coming out on the 22nd, which I think is perfect. I don't think you need to drop these weekly. There's no point.
Absolutely not. No, they're all disconnected as well, aren't they? But it's. I think this is kind of going to be like. I know the 2002. I think it was Clone Wars. Maybe 2003. That wasn't anime, but it was very much like a cool animated style from that, like Samurai Jack sort of thing, wasn't it? Yeah. And like, I've always wanted to see more Star Wars in that sort of art style. Have you ever seen the TIE Fighter animated movie on YouTube?
I don't think so. No,
mate, get that. I'm going to send you a link right now and you have to watch it the second this finishes. Cause that is a Star Wars fan made anime about TIE fighters and TIE fighter pilots.
I think I would have known if I did or not. So go on, send that over, big boy.
Those are all things I like. I just said right there. All
TIE fighters,
so,
fans, yeah. YouTube.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'll send that over to you, mate. And then you can give your thoughts on it next week. But you guys listening as well, I think I've spoke to a couple of listeners about it before, so I know some of you have watched it. But yeah, get that on if you've not seen it already. The title of the video is literally, I think it's just, let me just have a look.
Star Wars TIE
Fighter. TIE Fighter short film. It's by a guy called Ota King, and it's got 12 million views.
More like.
So, yeah.
All right, we'll whack it over. I'll watch it tonight, and we'll talk about that next week then.
Sweet, yeah.
Next week's going to be fun as well. It's been a year since NPM kicked off, mate. How about that? You massive stud. Honk. He's there, Honk. Honk may have gone for a dump. He went for a poo before he came on air. He may be back. having a big old dump. There he is, but he's back again.
I don't know what happened there. I was here, and it just wasn't... You couldn't hear me.
You had your microphone went on mute, which I noticed, so I thought, oh, crap, I better tell everyone that you might be having a poo.
That wasn't me. That was a ghost in the room. But I was just saying, yeah, so that episode will... We'll have already put a social post out before that, before this episode comes out, but we're going to get your guys' listener questions in. So if you are listening to the show now and you've not seen the post, feel free to shoot us over a message on Instagram or Twitter or wherever. Yeah. And we're going to do an all listener episode next week, aren't we, mate?
I see. Yeah. Just send us
celebrating
questions.
A year of MPM,
a year of absolute madness. But wonderful
moving
madness.
Picture variety, yeah.
Or pixel as well. Yeah, send questions for us about anything that you think we'd like to talk about, or anything you can remember from the last year which you thought that was really quite funny. Or do you remember when Ant said something that was really deep? You know, because we sometimes talk about serious stuff.
Sometimes we have brains, don't we? And then sometimes we're just monkey brains.
Sometimes we just talk about Freddy versus Jason, and the absolute banality of that sends us mental, basically. Banality,
I think that still
word.
Might be the most silly podcast we've ever made. That Freddy versus Jason one is just like, it's a lot of us just laughing. And
Linderman.
Yeah, just bullshit like that for the whole hour. But yeah, man.
I look back on that with some fondness, though.
That's a question for you then, mate. What, out of all the shit we've done, what has been your favourite episode that we've done so far? Oh, now, maybe not like the most quality episode, maybe not this, just like the most fun. Maybe it was the movies you watched that gave you the most fun. Maybe it was the recording itself. Like,
oh, man,
I'm having a quick look through now.
I'm literally going to do the same thing. It's, and I know it's really sad to say, but I've actually enjoyed all of them. The Jesus film,
Evangelo,
because we had fun talking about other things on that episode.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? One of the ones that was my favourite was the Cyberpunk episode, just because, like, Akira and Ghost in the Shell are two movies that mean, like, so much to me. They're two of my favourites of all time. And it's not often we can get to a point where, like, there's something that high ranking for me, and then I can introduce it to somebody who I'm such good friends with, you know what I mean? And then get the reaction and
well, you've
stuff
given
like
me
that.
Enough to watch recently. So Berserk, which I'm cracking on with. I'm going to watch Evangelion soon, and I'm sure there was something else you told me you instructed me to watch as well, other than the Ghibli
Cowboy
stuff.
Cowboy Bebop.
That's it, Cowboy Bebop. So again, I've heard of all these things. It's never, yeah. My interest has never been piqued.
The Resi episode was really good.
The Resi one was fit.
Not the Resi movie one. That was good as well, but I mean the Resi game episode, just because that was like the first time we've played a new game together on the podcast.
Oh, Village,
yeah.
The first
pixel just fun
episode.
It was just fun to talk about.
All the pixel ones have been good. Even the ones which I haven't been on have been really good discussions.
Yeah, that was fun. Doing the one with Dave, that was good as well. But
one with Dave, the ones with Bespin when he came on to do the preview shows, they
every
were
time
good
Bespin
to listen
comes
to.
On, it's just a crazy...
It's chaos.
Yeah, it's just
it's like
a
an avalanche, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like an avalanche, and you just can't stop it whenever Bespin comes on.
It's just looking at some of our titles here, like Alien vs. Predator... Pez and the Vanishing at Cecil House. I'm like, I can't even remember us talking about
that. I don't remember that either. I like the Last of Us discussion. I thought that was great. That was a good discussion. The Event Horizon episode was fun.
Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter. Very
good
episode. Good.
The Psycho Gorman, just to hear you, your introduction. Right, let's just get this podcast with our man. Fucking hell. We're...
10 greatest action movies was amazing. And that just filmed. Goes back to a time when, mate, we were just in the house doing nothing.
That was... What,
there was
what
a
we've
year
got.
Where we just fucking sat in the house and watched movies.
And this is it. What we've got in the first year of MPM is pretty much crystallised by pandemic life. Apart from the last, what, maybe five,
that's
10
maybe
episodes.
Going to be one of the strangest things, isn't it? Looking back at the content we created when the world was in such a weird spot that it was in. Like,
that's what I mean. The last 5-10 episodes where we've both now been working, before that, it was pretty much like, we've got all the time in the world, what should we do? And it's really odd to see. But I still stand by those first few episodes, which not many podcasters can do, I don't think. A lot of people cringe at their first few episodes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we definitely changed since then, like... As a show, and I think, like, maybe not yourself as much because you've been doing this for longer than I have, but I sound completely different then. I think I don't like hate listening to them, but I think I just don't sound comfortable. Mm-hmm. As in, I know myself and I know like how I talk now and stuff, and it's genuinely, I'm not nervous in any way to do. But yeah, I'm not. I'd never get nervous to do this, and I didn't used to get like. I said to you, the difference was, I think it's because I was used to live streams. So then when you get on here, it's like you are literally just recording your voice. It's different to when you're doing a live stream, you're bouncing off the people in the chat. So you always sort of know. Like,
you're not
that
conscious
is just
of your own voice.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You just go in and it's live and people don't necessarily watch those. But, well, people used to be fair, but most of the time people don't watch them back too much. It is just you and it's live. Like you're saying, if you make a slip up, you just make the slip up and then there's 6 hours more of it. But like in a podcast, I mean, all people do is listen back to it. So it's
this is out there forever. It's audio and people can listen back to these in 100 years time, hopefully. But like,
I also think that's a good thing that like, because I came from doing this and you said to before that we never have to edit any of this, do we? Because I'm so used to doing live.
Fucker. We said to Best Bin beforehand, don't worry, Best Bin, your secret is safe. But we said to Best Bin beforehand, it was quite late, that episode was. So like, let's get it, let's do it, and we can get it. I'll get it out tonight. Come on, let's do it. Give me an easy job here, boys. And consummate professional. Bulletin comes on, starts saying stuff, and I've had to, and he's like, after
Effin and Jeffin.
He is. At the end of it, he's like, oh, I think I'm not going to do the voice. He goes, oh, I think maybe we should probably take that bit out because I don't think it's going to go down too well. And I was saying, no, I ain't got time. We'll keep it in. But in the end, I was outvoted 2-1. So I took it out. But as soon as that bastard comes on, I have to get editing again. And no need to because he's a professional.
And I'm also, I'm fine with whatever I say.
you just stand by what you say as well.
Yeah,
all the times you've called people onion groins, nonsense.
It'll be the end of me one day, but who
that's
cares?
Fine. Wankers and all the rest of it. We stand by it. I liked the I think, oh shit, I'm probably going to look right and knob here. The two director episodes we've done, Eggers and Garland, I thought they were great episodes.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think they might have been the two most sort of like straight laced episodes I've done. There's not too much
and
messing about on those.
The Last of Us one, I think, is with that.
Like, and The Last of Us, it doesn't really lend itself to like fucking razzing each other halfway through it and being dicks, does it? It's like, oh, let's talk about this really somber story about this man connecting with this.
Do you remember when his kid
got
shot?
His daughter. Yeah, you remember when his kid got shot? Wasn't that funny? Yeah, like it was just no, you can't really do that. And again, I do think we pick a lot of our movies and topics and what we do based on the fact that this is supposed to be a fun time. The show, like,
you want to have a good time.
Still dip into something a bit more. And again, when we're talking about the Robert Eggers movies, you can't really have a laugh and a joke talking about The Lighthouse and The Witch either, because that's not what it's not what that sort of material lends itself to. And I think what you are talking about on your podcast should sort of reflect the tone of your podcast. And again, we talk about horror and action and all this stuff where there are dudes swearing and there's like shit on screen and there's just all this gore and all this. We wouldn't want to sit and talk about that in like a way where we were both being squares talking
about
the Predator.
The compositional aspect of the shot when Freddy Krueger calls calls that woman a racial slur in Freddy versus Jason.
What about the cinematography when Freddy turns into a giant slug and smokes a bifter with Lindemann? Oh, it's great. It's perfect. Like it doesn't work, does it?
It doesn't quite work, does it?
No.
But we've said that all along, though, to be fair. We have fun, but we also know our shit when it comes to it, and we can get down with anybody on anything because we're like that. We can talk about those films or The Last of Us and get proper into it, because I think we did. And with those three, just got into it, without thinking. It was just natural. But we can also have a laugh.
When you were asking before, obviously, about what I've been watching recently as well, I put out a quick post about it so people have seen that, but I was talking about Godzilla.
Yeah.
We're never going to do a full episode on that because there are fucking literally, just in this box set I've got, I think there are 19 movies, so it's not happening.
Not anymore. We need another pandemic for that.
Well, this is the Showa era, so this is literally all the movies from 1954 right up until 1975. And obviously, like, the first one, obviously, Godzilla came out in 1954, and then there was another one out in 1956 straight away.
And you sent me some footage of...
Oh, so yeah, this is the point being, when I watched the first one, that movie, mate, if you're just going to watch one, get this on the list as well with the rest of the shit that I always tell you to watch, is a masterpiece still. And I don't just mean, oh, it's quite good if you consider it's from here. It is still so good. And in the way that, like, I think these two movies that I'm going to say completely stand on their own as like a different kind of like kaiju film in, the first original Godzilla and Shin Godzilla.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they're two of the only ones as well, or probably the two only ones, which really nail just Godzilla on his own being the villain and just being terrifying.
Yeah.
And Shin Godzilla was obviously an attempt to, it's a reboot, so it's trying to do that again. But he's not fighting another monster and he's not doing this and there's no campiness. Other people would probably say, yeah, it looks campy and stuff. But honestly, the way that it's like shot, the way it's lit, everything just still works for me. And again, maybe some people would watch it and go, I can't suspend my disbelief that this is a fucking dude in a rubber suit kicking down a bunch of like old stuff.
But the way Alien.
The way it's shot and framed and stuff, like I said, like you'll see like a bunch of people running away from something and then it cuts to Godzilla. And I never really, and I do appreciate this stuff, even if it does suspend my disbelief, where like I can go, oh, well, that's obviously a shot that's framed the way it is. And then Godzilla stepping on a miniature of that city that it looks like they're in front of. But I was that engrossed in it that I stopped doing that. Like, and that's a good sign, is that I wasn't sat there trying to pick out these like little floors where they built like the little city for him to crush, or the little, like, he's going across there's an iconic scene where he's walking across like a train track and his foot stomps in the middle of it, the train hits it and like piles up, and then the scene where he grabs it and it's like, it still looks so good. It still genuinely looks so good. And there's amazing subplots in it, like the human characters. You read it here first, folks.
Oh,
get the fucking applause. The human characters in the original Godzilla are great. Like, there's not individually, maybe, but like as a whole and as a subplot, which is in a monster movie, the human characters are a subplot, aren't they? That they just are. There's the story of the monster fucking everything up, and then there's the what the humans are doing when the monster's not on screen. And mate, yeah, it's genuinely there's no secret that this is a big, massive like social and political commentary on, like, in the film they literally say Godzilla has come like to Tokyo basically because we've destroyed, or the Americans have destroyed his like homeland by testing hydrogen bombs, like, and testing nuclear bombs.
How much more political can you get than that?
Exactly. And there is a line in the film that lets you say they have blown up his homeland and he has nowhere else to go now. So this is where he is. And then they create a oxygen bomb, which they can kill him with. But the scientist in the film, like one of the main characters, is wrestling with the fact that if he lets this oxygen bomb out, it will probably kill Godzilla and it will save the rest of the city, even though most of it's been trampled already. But it will also kill millions more, because then there's an oxygen bomb in the world. And he said, he's like, that's the thing he's wrestling with, is he's saying, more than Godzilla, I'm scared that the humans will get a hold of this.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm more scared of than Godzilla, is that somebody else will know how to use this now and will use it on somebody, which I don't need to fucking explain the parallels there either, do I? Like,
nope. I think people get that.
it is genuinely like really compelling. And again, I think they did this really well in Shin. It doesn't hide the fact that it's talking about the difference between how Japan would deal with, in that they're like, straight away America just want to bomb Godzilla in Shin Godzilla, don't they? And then Japan are like, no, we need to find another way. And America are like, nope, you've got 4 hours and then we're sending in the nukes into Tokyo. Like, again, they do it like similar in that. And I think the human characters in Shin Godzilla are great as well.
I think they are. And I miss films like that, because back in the day, films were used as a form of expression, sometimes not very subtle. Like you just mentioned with Godzilla, you watch that film, you know damn well where they're getting at. Everyone obviously knows Night of the Living Dead, the socio-political messages behind that. And it's just back in the day, there used to be so many more. Now, films were a vehicle for stuff like that. Obviously, Star Wars as well being a big one for Vietnam. And in the modern versions of those films, like we mentioned, the zombie film, the Snyder one we did recently in the mall. I can't remember.
Dawn of the Army Dead. Of the Dead.
Does it Dawn of the Dead when he did? The
2004 movies? One.
That's it. That one, it lost all its nuance. You could say that the new Star Wars films lost their nuance and message. And the latest Godzilla
Star Wars films lost they have about 70 messages in the new ones, don't they? I think that might be.
Well, yeah, maybe they've got too many.
Whereas too many ingredients.
And the new Godzilla films or monster films don't have as many of these messages.
What I was thinking about when you were just saying that, to be fair. In the 2014 Godzilla, what is sort of the message?
Aaron Taylor-Johnson's trying to be a lead man.
I don't think films need a message every time, but like just about everything I've just said about the original Godzilla and Shin Godzilla.
There's sometimes
and comparing
like
that with like
requirement, isn't it? When you're doing a Godzilla film, it's almost like, I don't want to say necessary because then that's pigeonholing. But
I also think as well, though, if we're adapting it like in the West, maybe don't try and make the same message.
That might be the reason why.
Because in ours, it is more, well, in the American version, it is more, well, the Mutos are here now and Godzilla's going to save us. Like,
yeah, it becomes the more straight up action.
It's a way easier plot to handle. Like,
yes.
And a way easier plot to just lay out. And the nuances of that come from like Bryan Cranston's character losing his wife and then like constantly running the research.
Or Matthew Broderick.
No.
No, yeah, the 2014 one handed it a lot better. Yeah, that opening.
We did say on our Godzilla episode, didn't we? Our Shin Godzilla was like leaps and bounds above the rest of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because we, for those who haven't gone back to listen to that one, firstly, why not? Because it's great. We spoke about 2016 Shin Godzilla, the Gareth Edwards Godzilla, plus the 1998 Godzilla, to the best and worst of modern Godzilla, we called it.
Yeah, it was basically was just like we were taking one from each sort of. It was the most recent of the Toho stuff, at least, well, the stuff made in Japan.
Yeah.
And then Gareth Edwards' attempt at it from obviously an American side, and then
and
another
the
one from 98.
Well.
King of the Monsters, we spoke
I forgot about that,
well,
which
yeah.
was, yeah,
yeah,
which I was listening to a show about. I told you about this, mate.
I was waiting to hear about this. What were they saying about
it? The podcast is called Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong. Shout out, RT. And I think it's hosted by, remember Mark Ellis on Collider?
Yes.
He hosts it with a couple of guests, so.
Did not know that guy was still doing stuff.
Yeah, neither did I until I heard his voice. I thought, I recognise his voice. It's him. Basically, they take a film each week with a rotten rating or a very low fresh rating. And they talk about it for an hour. What Rotten Tomatoes are wrong about this film. And they kind of, you know, they'll get someone on.
Which is like it doesn't make sense anyway in a statement, does it? Because Rotten Tomatoes is not a reviewer.
that's the ironic thing is there's so many people who don't realise that RT don't lend the scores to the films. It's an aggregation. No. But
the amount of people, mate, you see online literally can't believe Rotten Tomatoes gave this an 80%. Like, no, that's not how it works. And for everybody else listening, because I know so many people who still don't know how this works, Rotten Tomatoes is an aggregator for reviews.
Yes.
And Rotten Tomatoes, it makes no difference if you give something a 6 or a 10, that is still just contributing towards a positive score, which then contributes as a whole to the rest of the percentage. So if I gave, say, Godzilla King of the Monsters a 6, I would be contributing towards the fresh percentage. If Matt gave it a 4, it would be going towards the rotten. Or if he gave it a 0, it still just contributes towards the rotten. Not more, not less. So that's how it works.
You have to pick between. It's a very simple thing to do it, because that's where mine go on. You pick, do you want to make it, do you want to assign it a fresh or a rotten rating?
Exactly.
But I could have a fresh rating of 5 out of 10. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If I select fresh as a man who can't pronounce his ass properly, that's what it gets. I can give it a 2 out of 10 and give it a fresh. It would probably it would probably get pulled up and be like, hold on, have you made a mistake here? But that it's the people who contribute.
It's like, it's the Weekly Planet have literally adopted the best movie ever or worst movie ever, and they're doing that as a joke, but that's how Rotten Tomatoes works. Is it something you think is good, or is it something you think is bad? And there isn't really a middle ground for that, is there, on Rotten Tomatoes? You just said you can give something, like, as Matt submitting as a reviewer is what we're saying here. He could say it's a 4 out of 10 fresh, but that doesn't make any sense. So I think it's when it's at a 5 and you're in the middle ground, you have to choose if that's towards like more towards 6 or more towards 4.
Yeah, and then also your individual rating is down to however. Some people do it A, B, C.
Yeah, exactly. That's when it gets 100. Complicated. Or 5 or stars.
Some people
or
don't do a rating. Some people will just go on there and it was either yes, it's either thumbs up or down, basically. But
I prefer that. Like,
and yeah, I wish
you know
I'd
me,
done
I like
with as well.
I like the.
You do
I,
like
I don't
a simple,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, there's nothing against anybody that uses scores and stuff, but I just don't do them. And I was looking at that on Letterboxd the other day, to be fair. I'm so glad on Letterboxd. You don't even have to give a score there, do you?
You can just
review
it. Review them or blog them or whatever.
again, like, I really like listening to discussions on this about, like, I've listened to them talk about it on IGN before, like Dan Stapleton, their editor of reviews and stuff, and I think that's what his title is, but he's spoken about, like, he removed the point one or point whatever feature, which I like. I really like that, because I do think he was basically saying that if you think something's a 6.5, you can justify in your head why it's a 6 or a 7, but you're just doing the 0.5 because it's easier.
Yeah.
Like, just gives and you I more really like committing to a, is it a 7 though, or is it a 6? And this is coming from somebody who doesn't like using numbers myself, but I did it because I used to review a lot of stuff, and it was like every time you do it, like, yeah, but what out of 10? It was on a Tumblr page for a while, I was doing stuff, and then I did stuff like for a website for a little bit, and it's just, yeah, anytime you review something, yeah, but what out of 10?
Yeah. What,
like,
people do now is they'll
read the review.
They'll open the page, they'll scroll down, see the rating or the score, and then they'll click off again, because people just want that instant. Because if they look at a review and it's 2 out of 10 for a film they like, they won't read it. They'll just start, exactly, I don't know what they're on about.
An interesting thing as well that Dan Stapleton said about it was that it always depends on the game. I don't know if you've noticed this, whether IGN put up the score in the thumbnail or not. Yeah. So, like, if they think that obviously it's beneficial, and they think, like, say, I think a good example is, I think for a Last of Us or something, that should be in the thumbnail. Mm-hmm. If you think that's a 10 out of 10, because then people can go on and go, right, why is it a 10 out of 10? But if it's something like maybe an Horizon Zero Dawn, which is popular, but it's maybe not as, like, much of a statement to say what the thing is, I wouldn't click on that, I don't think, if it said 8 out of 10, because then I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly.
But if,
yeah,
if I don't know, I would sit and watch the review, and it would, and like, oh shit, like it could be a 10. It could be, mm-hmm. Again, it's subjective and it's down to the editor and all this, but I do think it's different for each film. Like, I think a statement, say for us, let's just say I'm doing it here for MPM and I'm the bloody editor of our reviews, as if we just sit and review stuff and we don't do anything else. You know, if we did The Green Knight, for example, I think if that was a 10, that'd be in the thumbnail. Green Knight is a modern masterpiece, it'd be the title or some shit like that.
Yep.
But if we were speaking about Dune, I don't think you put it in. Do you get what I'm saying?
I
think people are already like, shit, like, should I so want to know what's happening with Dune. Let's see what these boys think.
Yep.
As opposed to where Green Knight would be, oh, now I want to know why they think it's a 10.
Something, if you give Dune a high score, there will be people who will almost expect it to get a high score, therefore won't tune in because they know what you're going to say. This is Bria Baba. Yeah, if you keep them hanging. Whereas if you gave Dune a 4, you probably would put that in the thumbnail because people would be like, shit, what are these guys on about?
Yeah, why? I want to know why they think that,
But and at the same time,
it is interesting, this kind of stuff. I do like the reasons why people do what they do on websites.
Somebody who contributes to that, to said website, I will also say, make your own bloody mind up as well. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Not you, but anyone listening, because I know you will anyway, but I do think people hang far too much attention on YouTubers, movie reviewers, bloggers, Rotten Tomatoes, to whether or not they should see a film. I get that if you haven't got much money, Rotten Tomatoes is maybe a good thing to look at if you think, oh, which film should I watch, this one or this one? This one's got a higher percentage than that one.
I would recommend way over Rotten Tomatoes is find a bunch of reviewers that you trust, and they're not even necessarily the ones that you agree with, but find the ones that you trust and see what they think about something, and then even sometimes if they say that they didn't like it, sometimes the reasons why they didn't like it might inform you as to why you do. Like, that's why I always think, like, and I know you do this, mate, but you watch way more stuff than I do movie-wise. Like, but even just games, books, whatever you're doing, I think it's important to just pick stuff sometimes and just sort of get your own taste in your mind, because then if you just watch the stuff that gets reviewed 10 out of 10 every time, one, you might miss out on some stuff that you think is 10 out of 10 or like your favorite thing of the year. But two, you won't know your own taste well enough to know what that is. Like, I watched, like we said this year, I watched Monster Hunter this year. That is a poo film. It is poo, isn't it? But I had such a good time watching that. It's like that Psycho Gorman and Willy's Wonderland this year, two films I really didn't like. And I said at the time when we were talking about those, I think I'm done with this kind of film.
Yeah.
that's hyperbole. I'm not obviously done with like these 80s throwbacks. I do like them, but my expectations are well in check now because I now understand that those were ones I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's important to do that, I think.
With Monster Hunter, though, we went in with no expectations. I'm looking now. It's got an RT. It's got 45%. That's actually higher than I thought it would be if I hadn't seen the film.
It's higher than I thought it would be. Yeah. So that would probably
get me to watch it.
Time.
But yeah. But then I'd probably watch it anyway. But yeah, I do think it's important. Like you say, find or just like-minded people. Like if I haven't seen a film, but I know that Ant has, if Ant says it's poo, there's a high chance, not always, but I might watch it and agree. Or if he says it's good,
yeah.
Because we generally have similar wavelengths when it comes to that.
There's so also this as well where like, I think there's two ways that I could say, I think this is a film Matt likes, but I don't like it.
Yep.
I think I was talking about this with some friends today and saying like, I really enjoy like learning somebody's tastes. It's so satisfying to me than telling somebody something to watch and them going, God, yeah, I love that. And like, I brought up the joke with you to the people I was talking about with it and said like, there is a joke on our podcast where like, if I go, Matt, watch this, you're like, yep, I'll watch it instantly. Yeah. And it's not because like for any other reason than most of the stuff I've sent you, you've enjoyed, haven't you? Like, I remember the biggest example.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. When you get time, you can do this. But like, it was more the one that I sent you, that Kreia video. There was basically an analysis of KOTOR 2 and they were talking about Kreia. And this video must've been like 3 hours long. And I sent it, Matt, must have been 3 hours after I sent it. He sent me a message about saying that is incredible. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, you just watched it like straight away.
It was a very good video. But no, yeah, that was...
If that was shit, I might have had a harder time recommending stuff to you, but...
Well, you know, I like Star Wars as well. That was when the pandemic was hot and literally had nothing to do. It's like, well, I am going to watch this. And also...
And it was late at night, wasn't it?
And it was late at night. And I like Star Wars, so yes. Mm. Same with these anime shows and films. I've always wanted to start watching
films. Oh, and I'm recommending with the anime stuff, mate. I am recommending you for me is the top tier stuff, like with Evangelion and
the shows that you're telling me, and the films I've always wanted to get into. It's just starting, which is what I said on the show when I first spoke about it. Is it's starting because I know me. If I like something, I want to watch all of them, and I'm really really vibing with them at the minute. I'm just trying to find the time to watch them at the minute more so than anything. Yeah. But whenever I can, I'm sliding on into Netflix because they're all on there. And watching it. Also, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking I can talk about this on the show because I know you've seen them.
I watched Mononoke again the other day.
That's the next one I'm watching.
Whew, it's just so good, man. It's so good.
And this is the funny thing about the Ghibli films is I've always known it, but now I'm watching them and getting more involved. I very rarely see someone who says, I didn't like that film. It's universal acclaim for all of their films.
Mm.
There will be people who don't like them or just don't like the style.
Or don't think they're as good. Yeah,
yeah. But everyone I've seen online or who comments on one of our posts, they're just like, they always say how fucking great these films are, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's amazing to see how much people just get behind these things, and how for a lot of people they're bloody life changing. But
it's so
interesting, so exciting to get into this new world of stories where I know that I've watched two of the big ones so far, Totoro, and Spirited Away, which both of them, spoiler, were great. Mononoke's next, and then I'm going to just start, and then I'm going to go into Porco as well.
I think Mononoke might be my favourite one out of them.
Oh, honestly, I can't. I want to watch them all and then say, right, Ant, let's just fucking talk about the Ghibli films. Not all of them, of course, but just start throwing things out and I'll be able to say, I've seen that one. And man,
you
could have an hour and hours and a bit of discussion just throwing down about that.
Yeah, 100%.
Shit. Right, I want to do that now. I saw Free Guy this week as well. Did you get a screening for that?
I haven't seen Free Guy. There was a staff screening, but I was on like early the next day, so I didn't do it. But the general consensus from everyone I've spoke to at work is that it's really good. Some people, the worst thing I had said about it was that it's a better premise than it is an execution, but that it was still good. But what did you think of it, mate?
I thought it was all right. The whole time I was watching,
it's all right.
Yeah, it was all right. You know, I think it's really good. Nothing really wrong with it. Pretty good. Yeah, great. 6 out of 10. Classic Zack Snyder's Justice League. The whole time I was thinking of you during it. There is a reason for this.
Okay.
Because, like we said in the last episode,
you do think of me a lot.
Well, that was it.
I think a lot more than most humans do.
Your fiance, I say, or your future wife does.
Easily more than Beth thinks about.
But
me,
the nice guys, obviously, what you said, and I've spent weeks thinking about it, and I'm on board completely now. The Nice Guys was the last good great comedy.
Okay.
So I'm going into this, thinking, is it going to be as good as that? Is it going to be as fun? So that kind of handicapped it a little bit. But I liked Free Guy. I just didn't think it was as funny as I thought it was going to be. A lot of it is like, it's Ryan Reynolds. It's kind of very quip heavy. Not all of them. No, there were none which were bad, but not all of them were very good. There was a few times I laughed. I laughed. I like the action.
I've done a couple of checks when we have to do the screen checks and stuff. And it's like,
it does look good.
Yeah.
But there are some moments which are funny. Jodie Comer was great. I think she's really good with Ryan Reynolds. She hasn't got a Scouse accent though. She's ditched that. She's good. Little Ray Harry is always good. I always fucking love him in films. But Ryan Reynolds is good. I just thought it was going to be a bit funnier. But I really like the premise is great though. I didn't watch a trailer, so I had no idea what was going on about. But the premise is great, and I won't spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen the trailer or read the synopsis. But once I realised what was going on, I thought, damn, I'm in here. This is pretty cool idea. And again, I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but I really like how they wrapped everything up. When the film got to its conclusion, I really liked how they did it. It didn't go the way I think, the way I thought it was going to be. So I like that aspect of it. It looked good. A lot of people have said it's a bit like Ready Player One meets Grand Theft Auto meets The Truman Show. And it is kind of a bit of all of them. But again, it depends on... It's a lot more Grand Theft Auto than it is The Truman Show. And a lot more Grand Theft Auto than it is Ready Player One. But there are instances in the film where you can understand why people would call it like a Ready Player One type film. Again, there's no spoilers or obvious hints there of what goes on. But yeah, I thought it was all right, mate. I wasn't particularly bothered by it going into it, but I came out enjoying it. There's talk of a sequel. I will say that I'm not particularly bothered by a sequel. If I wasn't excited really about Free Guy, ended up having a good time with it, but I'm still, having seen Free Guy, I'm still not particularly bothered by the idea of a sequel. Again, might be surprised, might be really good, but by the time the sequel comes out, it's going to be what, 18 months time? What's the hype level going to be for a Free Guy 2? I know they can't just bitch out a film like that, but I don't know. I always kind of think about that. Is there a clamour for a sequel, or is it because it had a good first week, good opening weekend, made some decent money to start with, and Ryan Reynolds wants to do it? Is that kind of what it is? I think this film could just be a standalone film. We'll just leave it as it is. But, mate, Hollywood nowadays, they don't allow that.
Sorry about that. Someone's at the door.
No. I was just rambling on there. Basically, in a nutshell, I liked Free Guy. I get why people call it The Truman Show meets Grand Theft Auto meets Ready Player One, but it is a lot more like Grand Theft Auto than any of those three.
It does look that way, yeah.
But there is elements of all of those in it.
Andy's going to shout because he always hates these sections where I piss off for a second and just leave you talking. But shut up, Andy.
Yeah, sorry, Andy. Well, I managed to flex it for the minute or two you're gone and just started going on about the film.
I don't think he doesn't appreciate your bit, mate. I think he gets annoyed at my professionalism.
When you got to go, that guy at the door could have been
even
dinner.
It wasn't even food. No, that's what I mean, mate. It wasn't even food. It's just an Amazon package.
Well, so you definitely need that. If it was, certainly if it's for the cake, if she thinks
it was for the cake,
you didn't get it, you're in trouble, mate. So
that's what I'm saying, mate. And she knows this is what I'm doing. So if she gets back from work, oh, did my parcel get here? I was doing MPM.
Not good enough.
She
checks her emails and there it is.
Yeah.
Hunk didn't answer the door. But no, I said I liked it. I said I wasn't hyped by this film at all. Ended up liking it. There's going to be a sequel, I think. And I'm not hyped at all.
I know about all the spoiler stuff in it because I basically didn't care that much and people were talking about it from work and I was like, yeah, I'm fine. You don't have to skirt around me to not spoil it.
And it's not,
that stuff sounded cool or whatever, but I was like, yep. Yep, that's fine.
Those things are cool when
I'll
you see
watch
them
it at some point. There was like a
1, 2, 3, 4 punt where these things happen like that, and I was like, "Fuck yes!" And
I think that's cool.
Yeah, it is great. And then the way it ended, I think it ended really well. It didn't end the way I thought it was going to end, which I loved. But I don't want to see a sequel. A sequel's going to take a year and a half, 2 years. Who's going to be waiting for 2 years to watch a sequel?
But
it's worth going. But for those listening, yeah, it's definitely worth going to see it, though. You lot may find it funnier than I did. A lot of people seem to. It just didn't fully make me laugh, but there were some good moments in it. I was death scrolling through Twitter the other day, and I don't know if you saw this or not, but I saw that Ric Flair was trending. So
go on.
I opened it. I was like, "What's Ric Flair trending?" Oh no, Rick, the Nature Boy's dead. The Nature Boy's become one with nature, and he wasn't dead. So of course, I think Ric Flair, and I just think, "Woo!" So I opened up the trending topic, and I literally went, "Woo! What the fuck is that?" It was basically an image of somebody who looks a lot like Ric Flair performing a gratuitous oral sex act on a female. On some sort of form of transport, a plane or a train or something. And it is, honestly, just go into it and just find Ric Flair and you'll see it. I was literally like, what the fuck have I just seen? I bleached my eyes out. But yeah, it was basically the Nature Boy was hungry and couldn't wait for his stop. So
nice.
That's what's been trending on Twitter.
I haven't
Ric
been
Flair.
On Twitter much, but it sounds like I should be on it more because that sounds like some mad shit.
Yeah, I know. I've just googled Ric Flair, Ric Flair train photo. Oh mate, if it
I'll
is
Google
him,
it. I'll Google
dudes.
It now. Jesus, what the stuff I do? Ric Flair train photo. Is that is what you
it?
Said?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if it was Rick in the end. Oh, no.
Ric Flair spreads viral video. Is it him? Oh, I see it. Yeah. I see woo-hoo! It now, yeah.
Yeah. Nature Boy doesn't ride trains. Woo woo. Yeah, anyway, whatever it was, he was like a very old fella who looks like Ric
it's
Flair.
It's like he's woo wooing someone there, doesn't he?
No, yeah. Not that I'm jealous of a 90-year-old man getting some, but. I don't know how old Ric Flair is, to be fair. 72 years old. 72 years old. And still wears
we
pants
can't,
and goes
we can't get into wrestling again for an entire hour, mate, so we must move
yes,
on from Ric Flair.
Let's move on from Ric Flair and his genital attraction. What else? Mark Wahlberg got paid £30 million for a Netflix film. I almost jumped out of the third floor building that I work from.
What is this film going to be?
It already came out. It was last year. I didn't see it because it's got Mark Wahlberg in it. It was called Spencer Confidential.
Fucking hell. Is there a more like generic Mark Wahlberg movie title than
it's Spencer? I can't stand Mark. I liked him in Instant Family, but I can't. I don't know. There's something about he's probably a proper nice guy, even though he's a criminal.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. I just can't. There's something about him. He just. He reminds me of all the worst people in the world rolled into one.
Oh yeah, he's been done for like all sorts. He's just like, it's like a racist. He's fucking beat people up. He's a
in that case,
like,
I take it back.
Yeah, he's the worst
wanker. But he got paid $30 million for a shit film.
Okay. Spencer Confidential. That's not happening on NPM anytime soon. Then
no, I'd rather watch Twilight films than watch a Mark Wahlberg film.
To be fair, yeah.
I came across that. Oh yeah, on that Rotten Tomatoes show, I think they kind of still agreed that they didn't really like King of the Monsters.
I was going to say that's where we were a while back.
Yeah, I know, but they got to Rick.
We've come a long way since then. Yeah, so they didn't like it either.
I think what they said was, I can't remember, paraphrase, and they said there are too many human characters. They said there was a few of them that you could have taken like two or three of them and made them just into one character.
So let's ask this question then: why does Godzilla vs Kong not get that same thing? Because it's the same problem.
This is it,
we've spoke about this at length before, but my issue with not only sort of the massive like excitement around Godzilla vs Kong,
yeah man,
versus like something else in it is that if you remove the human elements from both, King of the Monsters is far better, right? But nobody seems to do that. Like, people go, I hate the humans in King of the Monsters, therefore bad film. I also think the humans are shit in Godzilla vs. Kong, but the monster stuff. So, like, people literally saying, oh, I don't show up for these movies for the for the humans. But nobody gave King of the Monsters that pass, which is, I'm genuinely fascinated by that. And I don't know what it was that made people just sort of give the one that pass. Because I really do think the human characters in Godzilla vs. Kong are just as bad. I'm not sticking up for either saying they're good.
No, I know. I remember we said on the GVK episode, what should have happened was this Godzilla vs. Kong should have switched it. That should have come out in 2019 or whatever. And King of the Monsters, they could have retooled that with Kong. That should have come out as the last film, have the build up. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, the Vera Farmiga and her weird kind of idea of saving the world. Yeah. And
do you know what else has got called? Terrible human characters in? Pacific Rim.
Oh, we were talking about this the other day, weren't we, Old Rim?
And the other thing with that is everyone goes, oh, no, but you come for the monsters.
You come for the kaiju. Yeah, I don't subscribe to that because I do go to these films for the human characters. I don't expect them to be amazing,
the question,
but they're there, so they've got to be something to them.
Yeah, I asked the question of, I'm one of the only people that I think I've asked this question of, because I know the answer to the question myself when I'm asking it. Mm-hmm. But some people the long story short of it is, are you a Godzilla 2014 person or are you a King of the Monsters person?
Yeah.
I think that's the quickest way to answer this. Leave like all the rest of them out of it. Which one of those would you prefer more? Because for the simple reason that 2014 has so much less Godzilla in it than King of the Monsters does, and King of the Monsters has got all the action that it has in something. I like both, is the answer. And again, at the end of the day, I didn't hate Godzilla versus Kong. Most of the basis of the conversation we had around that was just me being so surprised that everybody else gave it such a pass. In light of like Godzilla versus Kong, in light of King of the Monsters, should I say? But
I think a lot of it comes down to, mate, we mentioned that on the episode, but I'm guilty of it as well. The trailers for King of the Monsters were a piece of art. The trailers are so good. I went in thinking this could be the film of the year. And because it may not, for me, didn't live up to the high promise of the trailers, I don't know if that left a bad taste, but I did go back to rewatch it for the episode we did.
See, this is the thing. I want to rewatch Godzilla vs. Kong because you liked Godzilla King of the Monsters quite a bit more the second time, didn't you? You still didn't love it, but you were like a bit more up on it.
It was
the monster side, at least.
I think, yeah, what I liked about it the first time, I liked more, and what I didn't like
that's
the first
time,
I wasn't quite as hot on still. But listen, and this is the idea of Godzilla, Mothra, Ghidorah, Rodan getting together and having a throwdown.
And that's the thing, mate.
Gold.
I don't think any of that was done poorly.
No, I think that was good.
This
podcast said that the action scenes were too dark. They also said Ken Watanabe, one of the people, said Ken Watanabe was phoning his performance in, and I thought Ant would beat you up if you heard that.
That's not something the man knows how to do.
Yeah. They're talking about the scene where he's underwater.
At the bottom of the ocean. Yeah, I was going to say,
Atlantis, that's
about
it. No, man, I thought he was one of the better parts of it. It's Ken Watanabe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Him and the like scientist crew and stuff like that. I didn't have much of a problem with those. It's like we said before, Kyle Chandler's boring and like Vera Farmiga's just insane for no reason. The rest of them though, they're cool.
Yeah, and maybe Bobby Brown's still learning to act as well in that film, bless her.
And in Godzilla vs. Kong, I think she's forgotten how to act in that one.
That's her. I will say that. But I said that when I reviewed it. That section with her, Julian Dennison, and the other people, just take the whole damn thing out. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
Do you know what I also think was one of the things that might have annoyed me a bit? Is that it's not really even a Godzilla film, is it? Godzilla shows up for a minute. It's a King Kong sequel.
Yeah,
and
it's
a King Kong sequel. Wow, is it below Skull Island? In every single possible way.
We that as our number one, didn't we? Of the monster, the new monster.
Yes, I'm pretty sure we did, yeah. And again, most of these are like about Godzilla, and Godzilla is like a character I have a lot more love for than King Kong. I love them both, but I always pick Godzilla first.
And
that's how good Skull Island is that it's above King of the Monsters. And I can't remember how we ranked them. I think it was Skull Island for me, then Godzilla 2014, then King of the Monsters, then GVK.
I think mine was the same. I think I just switched the last two. I think, I don't know, actually, mine might have been Kong Skull Island. I might have put Godzilla versus Kong and then 2014 and then King of the Monsters.
We'll have to, somebody go back and tell us. But
yeah, for the year anniversary, let us know what we said on our own show. yeah. Other than that, I haven't really been doing anything else this week, mate. It's Free Guy was really the only film I went out to watch, and I've just been kind of bumming about, looking at Ric Flair on Twitter, listening to you talking about the old Zilla films, which is effortlessly entertaining. And that, honestly, we mentioned
I got the Showa era box set. I don't want to disclose how much I spent on it because I genuinely shouldn't be allowed money at this point.
You want to get married still.
Yeah. I'm just slowly working through. The next one I've got on there, ironically, is King Kong versus Godzilla.
Nice.
The title's reversed for the.
See, that would have been quite good to do a double feature, wouldn't it? That and then the new one.
This one is apparently like schlock.
Not when he puts a tree in his mouth.
Yeah, pure pants. This one, like, it's so interesting how the show era stuff works. We just talked about everything I said about the original Godzilla as well being like this masterpiece. Godzilla Raids Again. My God, like it was genuinely. So the plot of it, mate, is that Godzilla comes in and he's fighting Anguirus, this... somebody told me...
It's a near Fulham midfielder.
What's the... Anguissa, I know the guy you mean.
Oh, yeah, okay.
What's the name of the dinosaur? Oh, no, somebody told me at work earlier and I forgot what it's called. The name of the dinosaur with the, like, a tail with the ball on the end with the spikes. Oh, it's an Ankylosaurus.
Ankylosaurus.
One of those two. You can picture it in your head. Anguirus is basically that, but with like some horns and stuff.
I think it's the Ankylosaurus. Yeah, Stegosaurus.
Godzilla's fighting that thing, and whatever. About halfway through the film, he just kills this Anguirus thing. The news articles come out. It's Godzilla's killed Anguirus and stuff. And then he's stood next to like an iceberg. And then there are planes flying over it, and the planes are shooting the side of the iceberg to like make it fall on Godzilla. And it's like, it's just so
sounds
like,
great.
Generic. Yeah, it came out, they released it really quickly within a year to just get it out alongside Godzilla just to make some more money. But
Godzilla films have there, including the new ones and the Broderick. How many there been? Do you remember?
Let me just give it a quick Google, but I think it's something like 40 odd, maybe.
Because they have pumped those films out since the 50s.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is as well, mate, every time... So King of the Monsters is the original title for the American re-release of the original Japanese 54 film, which is like, I'm not going to watch that. I want to watch the OGs. You know what I mean? And the good thing about this box set is when you click on it, it does give you the option to do the Japanese or the American re-release.
That's
cool. And they've added different... Like, it's not just dubbed over, or it's not just like an American, it's literally the same film, but they've put American actors in with extra scenes and stuff. But that kind of just, I don't want to see that. I want to see it as it was originally made.
But that's what, that first film come out, was it 64? So that's 67 years ago now. So what, 40 odd films in 67 years? Yeah,
there are 36 films, but I don't think that's counting.
That's all
any
about,
of
that's
the Western
one every
ones.
2 years almost.
Yeah, that's not counting any of the Western ones.
And then you've got, obviously, the animations as well, animated ones. Well,
there's just been a new anime come out, a Godzilla anime called Singular Point on Netflix. I've not watched that yet, but I will
never
get around to that.
And you're never going to stop either, so, yeah.
I've just got a better list here. There are 36 live-action films, three American films, and then three animated films as well. And then it says various spin-offs and all this other stuff. But
42, so over 50 Godzilla products, things in 64, 67 years, sorry. That's unreal. So, hell, if you've got
I will get through them. I'll definitely get through them.
I don't doubt that, mate. And again, the collection is, honestly, it's so awesome, isn't it? I haven't even got it.
Every single, I hadn't sent you the rest of it. I'll send you some pictures of it. But every single movie is obviously in the back of it with all the discs. But then every single, it's a full book. And there's a full two-page thing on every single movie. Like,
it is Criterion, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because if you're a cinephile, the Criterion Collection is what you want.
It's basically a meme at this point, isn't it? The Criterion Collection stuff. They are so expensive. One of the ones they've just released is Twin Peaks Firewalk With Me, which is the film that came out after the second season of Twin Peaks, and that's just been released on the Criterion Collection as well. And it's like, man, 30 quid for one Blu-ray.
Yeah, at least they do, man.
It was 150 quid, but there's 19 films in there.
Yeah, that is worth it. I mean, look, oh, they're all worth it if you like the films because of what you get.
But if we're considering, like I said, that the Twin Peaks one was £30 for one.
That's like, what I mean. If you like, like Marriage Story is on Criterion. I love that film, but you get that film and you get about 6 hours worth of additional stuff. You know, it's legit. But yeah, 30, 35, 40 quid. 19 films, 150 quid.
It's 15 Godzilla films, but it's 19 if you include the thingies. I think
and that's they don't even have to all be good for that. It's just the fact that you've got this collection as well.
If it's 15 like films at least that I'll be watching anyway, that's £10 a Blu-ray. So you can't really complain.
I was in CEX, I've been in CEX most days, and Twin Peaks is in there, but I haven't been able to drop the 20-odd quid that I want, 25 quid. I'm going to watch
it for the DVD?
I need to speak to you about it, because I don't know. Because I saw I think the first season was there, I know that. But then there were other ones which look almost like they were kind of like single kind of.
The one that I had, and I gave it to somebody in the end who hadn't watched it, I don't talk to them anymore, so they probably still haven't watched it. But the one that I had, it was called like Twin Peaks, the entire case file, I think it was called. It was like a blue DVD box set, because I just didn't know how I could get hold of the Blu-ray ones. But
is that the new ones?
No, so. Basically, you had two seasons early on in the 80s, 90s ones, but then there's a new season that came out in like 2018, Twin Peaks The Return.
Gotcha.
So if you can find a box set with all three, then that's good, but if you can't...
Twin Peaks, The Entire Mystery.
That is it.
In CEX.
That's
I recognise the front cover, yeah, with a lady smiling and then kind of like her face is kind of cracked open.
Yeah, man.
Man, 20 quid, that's not bad, 20 quid.
Laura Palmer on the front with like, I think she's got a crack across her face.
That's
hasn't
it.
Like,
and you can kind of see like her dead underneath it. 20 quid.
Not spoiler, that is what the show's about.
Well, no, yeah, even when you said it, it kind of kicks off with that. And I will check that. Twin Peaks is the other thing I was going to check out as well. But I think that might be it, mate. Unless there's anything else you wanted to throw into the mix.
No, man, it's just been a little chit-chat episode because, again, we're just struggling for time to do all the stuff we used to do, but we will get some more big movie review episodes out, but they'll just be spaced out from now on. But
we'll get some
beers in, and we'll get your guys' questions in. Any questions you want, they don't have to be specifically about, like, which is your favourite, this movie or anything. You can ask us anything within reason, we'll answer it.
Some of you don't get cancelled.
Yeah, don't send us anything like that, but send us what you want. Send us it's just going to be a little celebration of MPM. We're going to be relaxed on that one, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. But
1 year of the madness. Yeah, it's going to be like this going forward. We'll have discussion episodes like this where we just riff on any old crap.
Yeah,
and then we might have, and then when like Halloween comes out or Candyman or whatever, I'm sure we'll talk about that, and then we'll go back to talking about it again. Yeah, we're mixing it up, aren't we?
Yeah, it's been going this way for a while. We spoke to you guys about it as well, and a lot of you like this, and we're just sort of having more conversational stuff. But there's just, as you guys know, there is no way Halloween Kills comes out and we don't talk about it. And
Absolutely. There's
no way we don't talk about Green Knight at some point. But it's just not going to be completely like... This show started, and I don't think we could have started it any other way, but this show started where it's like, right, this is us reviewing the Resi films. But I feel like... You guys are enjoying us enough now to where we don't just have to talk about a set of films. You can just listen to us talking.
Like that Halloween episode. Like we had an idea or two for the Halloween episode, so that's going to be pretty cool about what we talk about. So
definitely.
And then, fuck mate, it's October. Last year we did Horror Month. I'm sure we can whip something up for this year.
I think, absolutely, definitely. Mostly horror movies will be releasing throughout October, so that also works out in our favour.
Yeah, we'll probably just sit down and talk for an hour about horror before we even do anything, because that's what we can do.
We do like a bit of horror, don't we, mate?
We do like a bit of horror. But I think that's that then, mate. Where can the listeners find us to send their questions in and all that?
So you guys can find us at, if you want to send questions in, send it to MPMadnessPod on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to find me for some reason, then I'm at AntShotFirst everywhere. If you want to find Matt, where are you, Matt?
You'd rather find Ant because you can look at him. You can find me, just search What I Watched Tonight across all the socials and you'll find me there. Please give us 5 stars on your podcast provider of choice, because it gets more and more people in. And if you want to actually contribute to the show and give us a discussion topic, you can do. Go to ko-fi.com/movingpicturemadness. If you donate a fiver.
Yeah, we said with that you can do up to like a couple of films, maybe like a push. We can do a trilogy if it's like the same movie trilogy.
Yeah, but, yeah.
We will get round to them when we can. It's just it won't be as quick as it would have been during the pandemic. But
yeah, we've got a list of all the ones you sent in, and we're going to crack on through those. But
we will get to them. Basically, what it will be is if there's a big release coming out, or we don't have time, then it will be a conversation episode, or it will be based around the big release that week that it comes out, obviously, because mm-hmm. that's going to do better for us than it would if we waited.
Yeah.
But on the weeks where we don't have something, then it'll be a listener request episode.
That's easier to say than Ko-Fi Coffee. If you haven't got a fiver, that's fine. We just like the fact that you listen anyway. But if you want to,
or if you've got a fiver and don't have a suggestion, that's also fine.
Yeah, that's fine. All the money goes back into the show anyway. We're just collecting it all into our little Ko-Fi pot, aren't we? So But yeah, honestly, thanks for everyone who's done it, and if you're considering it, thank you very much. But that is this episode then. So until next week for the 1 year celebration, from me, I bid you farewell and see ya. And from Ant.
Goodbye from this week's Moving Picture Madness.
You son of a bitch.